And if they're getting paid to do a job and they come by my house and there's no can at the curb, will they miss me? Well, probably not. But I am that much of a good steward that when that big truck comes by, I'm going to make sure my can is at the curb. So that's a really good reason to roll the garbage to the street by being a good steward. Second good reason is a matter of love. What do you mean, preacher, rolling your garbage to the street is a matter of love? Well, if I don't do it, she will. Cindy will. And if I don't want her to do that job, then I'll roll the can to the curb. It's a matter of love. Love will motivate me. Love will motivate me to make sure the garbage is right. And listen. Love is a good reason to roll the garbage to the curb. It's a really good reason. Now, third motivation, and I don't have this motivation, but I think that some of you probably have this motivation, but you roll the can to the curb because it's a matter of fear. Your motivation is fear. It's not stewardship, and it's not love. It's not love for your wife. It's fear of your wife. And you know if I don't roll that can to the curb, she's going to be all over me. And you get up from here and you get that garbage out to the curb before that truck comes by. Motivation is fear. And that's probably a good reason to roll the can to the curb. So you roll it because you're motivated being a good steward, or motivated because of love, or motivated because of fear. But some of us are just motivated because it's garbage. It stinks. It stinks, so I'm just going to take the garbage out. I'm going to take it to the curb. So here's the question. Here's the question. If you don't pay taxes, if in fact you're not married, if in fact you would not get in trouble if you didn't roll the garbage to the curb, if, in fact, it did not stink, would you still take the garbage to the curb? Well, not if I was a teenager. But if you've grown into a mature adult, you would. Because so much of life, it's just a matter of maturity. I see this often in parents, and you know, as parents, and especially with young children, the parents' motto is often, "Good behavior gets reward; bad behavior gets punishment." But as a parent, there just comes a point in your life where you don't always want to reward good behavior, and you don't always want to punish bad behavior. You would just like do these things because you're growing up and you're maturing. I mean, when your son's 40 years old, you expect him to do those things, right? You expect him to grow up. It's just a matter of maturity. And the same thing is true in our Christian life. It's just a matter of maturity. All of us, all over the building, as we grow as Christians, we should be maturing. Now, often we will say that is growing in your faith, or that is the Spirit-filled life, or that is living by the Spirit, but it's just a matter of maturing. Let me show you. It's Romans chapter 8, and here in Romans chapter 8, we are told that we should walk in the Spirit. And excuse me for drinking this water. I've had a fighting a cold, or I guess a summer cold for 2 weeks. So if you want some, you can drink after me. I don't care. But but I apologize. But Paul says, he says, I want you to walk in the Spirit and not to walk in the flesh. And again, this is just a matter of maturing in your faith. It means that you are growing up as a Christian. And here in chapter 8, Paul begins to talk about this righteous requirement of God's law and what this righteous requirement does. Now, what is the righteous requirement of God's law? It's holiness. It's complete holiness. So maybe ask yourself the question this morning, have I fulfilled the righteous requirements of God's law? And of course, you don't have to answer. I can answer that for you. You have not. You have failed miserably. And I'm sorry. And don't be mad at me. You didn't fail me. We failed God. We did not fulfill that righteous requirement. And so we're in trouble. We're in trouble. It's Romans chapter 8. We'll start reading in verse 3. Paul says, for what the law could not do. And what could the law not do? Well, the law could not make you holy. God's law could not make you holy. And since God's law could not make you holy, God's law could not save you. It could not do that. And you have to admit, more times than you would really like to admit, you choose sin over holiness. You can look back in your life and think of those times, time and time and time again, where I chose sin instead of holiness. Time and time again, we have done that. And God's standard of righteousness and God's holiness, that standard is so high. And way too often in our life, that standard is too low, and we are constantly trying to bring God down to our level so that we can feel good about reaching some kind of standard. It is in our sinful nature to kind of craft God into our own image so that we can begin to feel good about ourselves. I found it very strange as I was reading this past week some studies that have been done over the past few years about right living and about the percentages of right living between believers and non-believers. And pretty much across the board, and this is sad to say, it's pretty much the same. And so... the survey says that the same number of believers admit to lying as non-believers. The same amount of believers admit to lying as non-believers. The number of believers admit to breaking the speed limit laws more than non-believers. Isn't that something? Oh, preacher, don't start with the speed limit again. Okay, we'll move on. We are doing better in one area. There is a slightly lower number of Christians who admit to gossiping as non-believers. So we're doing better in that area, or maybe we're lying again. Right? David Wells is a senior research professor at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, and he wrote, and he says, that today there is no discernible ethical difference evident in behavior when those claiming to be born again are compared with those of non-believing neighbors. He says, our behavior, the way we think, the way we act, the things we do, There is absolutely no difference between those of us who claim to be born again and those of us that don't. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. Jesus said of our world that we, that you, that they, that us love the dark more than the light. And that certainly should not be true of non-believers. But when you look at the studies that are going on in our world today, it seems like, and hopefully it's not true, but just looking at the survey, it seems like we love our sin more than we love righteousness, just like the rest of the world. It seems like it. The actions of our life, it looks like it. We seem to love unholiness more than holiness, just like the rest of the world. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us, we have turned his own way. And you know what that means? That means we really love to have things our way. And you know, I've discovered about so many people, and I don't know why, but I've noticed this more lately than ever before. We live in a world of people who just have control issues. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's simply, I have to have things my way. You know, we're sitting here today, right? You know, it's so many of us just have these control issues. And if you ever bring that up with somebody that has a control issue, you know what the answer is. I don't have control issues. I don't have control issues. Now get in the car and let's go. Right? Isaiah says every one of us has turned to his own way. His own way, not God's way. To his own way. And all the studies show it's an unholy way. It is truly loving the darkness more than the light. So here's what Paul says. What the law could not do was make you and I holy. For what the law, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God did. God did. God did. God did. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that the righteous requirement of the law is holiness. But the law was powerless to make us holy. And that is so much because of our bend towards sin. And it was only through the death of Christ, it was only through His blood covering our sins, that you and I can today stand holy before Him. And Paul says, because of that, because of what Jesus has done, we should no longer live according to the sinful nature, but instead we should live according to the Spirit. The problem is, as we have just discovered, is we are powerless. We are powerless in our flesh to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. And so the question is, and many have preached and many have said, does that mean that since I am powerless to fulfill God's law, since I am powerless to fulfill that law, do we just cast the law aside? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Just because Jesus took care of the requirement of the law does not mean, it has never meant, that we should cast it aside. We are still to live a life of God's standards. We are still to live that holy life. Well, preacher, you just said that in our flesh we were powerless to do that. So how in the world can we do it? Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That first part of the verse, it explains to us that we struggle in sin. And we didn't need anybody to explain that to us, but it's explaining that we struggle in sin, and we struggle in sin because our minds are filled with the things of the flesh. And I think most of us would probably like to think that we are spiritually mature, but how spiritually mature are we? You'll see it evidenced in your life. We'll see it in our life. If we were graded on spiritual maturity, if you go ahead and you can grade yourself this morning, you get an A? A plus? F? Somewhere in between? Maybe, hopefully, more toward the A area? But how spiritual mature are we really? Maybe we're not as spiritually mature as we would like to think. And I realize that for many of us, probably most of us, myself included, to actually walk in the Spirit, and I mean on a continuous basis and not for the flesh, sometimes that can be very, very hard. Your mind and your flesh begs for your time. It's a very, very difficult thing. For some of us, it's seemingly impossible. I mean, it's just impossible. And so there are times in our life we're working to live for God and working to walk according to the Spirit, and it gets really, really, really hard. And it gets really tough, and we begin to think, I would like to have a flesh break. I think I would like to just take a break from this walking in the Spirit and just indulge my flesh. It's kind of like if you've ever dieted, you know how hard that is, and you know, like if you're really serious about it and you're doing like broccoli for 40 days and 40 nights, you know what I mean? You're just serious. It's broccoli for breakfast, broccoli for lunch, broccoli for supper. You know, breakfast broccoli. That's delicious, right? Or braised broccoli for lunch, or broiled broccoli, kebabs for dinner, and I mean, in a side of cheese broccoli for dessert, and you start having these nightmares about this big broccoli stalk attacking you. And you can't take it anymore. You can't take it anymore. And enough with the broccoli. I just want to indulge my appetite for a little while. And you go out and you buy a dozen of maple bacon donuts. And you pile them in a bowl. And then you pour like 5 gallons of vanilla bean ice cream on top of it. And then cover it in hot fudge and whipped cream, and sprinkle the top of it with bacon, because I'm going to have some flesh fun. You know, I can't take it anymore. Can I just take a break from walking in the Spirit? Just do what everybody else is doing. Calm down, preacher. I've never thought that. I've never thought that in my life. Well, maybe you haven't, but you've done it. You didn't think about it, but you did it. You indulged your flesh. We've indulged our flesh. Because sometimes it seems to us that I'm out there trying to do the right thing. And actually, it seems to me that I'm the only one out there trying to do the right thing, and everybody else is doing their own thing. And it's so hard, preacher. It's just so hard. And I know it's hard. But spiritually mature Christians will grow up and walk by the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." For me, the best way for me to think about this and illustrate this, for me, this is in decisions that I make. And it may be the same for you. For me to make a decision, it's so much easier to make a decision in my flesh. Because we naturally want to feed our flesh. And so when it comes to decisions, you know, what's going to be good for me? What do I want? What feels good for me? And so when we make decisions like that, when we're carnally minded, when that's how we make our decisions, it just simply brings about death in our life. It brings about death of something in our life. I mean, how many of you have ever made a decision that you just regret? Wish I'd have never made that decision. We wish I'd have never even thought about that. It's because you were making that decision through a carnal mind rather than a spiritual mind. And you know that because the results of a spiritual mind is life and peace. Life and peace. In verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the Spirit. Paul says, we owe the flesh nothing. Jesus took care of the flesh. We are no longer in debt to our flesh. We no longer have to live according to our flesh. Though I realize that many of us say, well, I've paid the flesh enough. Sometimes I feel like I'm still indebted to my flesh, and I've paid enough. And then verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You see, when we live according to our flesh, you will die. And it's not just talking a physical death, talking about a spiritual death also. If you live a lifetime of feeding the flesh, you can watch yourself literally die internally. You can just watch your life just rot away. This is the easiest thing to find in people because it shows up in bitterness and anger and worry and all these things that just take control of your life. And Paul says, how you live is how you'll die. How you live is how you'll die. It's such a scary thought. Verse 13 again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here's a real easy way for us to understand this. Whatever you are filled with, you will live by that. That's how you will live your life. If you are filled with the Spirit, you will live by the Spirit. Whatever fills you, that is the power that is going to control you, that will control your life. It will control your relationship with other people. It will control the way you think. It will control the attitudes that you have. It will control absolutely everything about you. Whatever it is that fills you, that's what controls you. So what are you filled with? What are you filled with? Now, I'm gonna take you through just a couple of verses, and you can do this at home. I just went on my Bible program, if you have one on the computer, and I just typed in filled. And it just gives you all these verses, and you can see what people are filled with and how they react to whatever they're filled with. The first one is Esther chapter 3 and verse 5. Esther chapter 3 and verse 5. Look at what it says. When Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow down or pay him homage, Haman was filled with rage, but he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him of the people of Mordecai. Instead, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. He was filled with wrath. His life was filled with wrath, and that caused him to want to just kill Mordecai and all of the Jews. It controlled his thought process. It controlled his decisions in life. It even controlled his death. It controlled everything. How you live is how you'll die. He was filled with wrath. Another one is Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 3. Therefore, my loins are filled with pain. Pains have taken hold of me like the pains of a woman in leather and labor. I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. Pain can control your life. If someone has hurt you, if someone has done something to you, pain can control your life. Physical pain, oh, that can control some things too, can it? I mean, it can change your attitude. It hasn't been too awfully long ago. I was working on something for my daughter, and I have this old drill, and I've had this drill since I was 14, 15, or 16 years old, and I can't get rid of it. You know, it's memories, right? And I mean, this is a real drill, right? There's no plastic on this drill at all. It's all metal. I mean, it's great. It's solid. And even the trigger is a little piece of metal. It's wonderful. And I should never use it because, I mean, it's not grounded. You know, it's not something you should use. And I was out in the shop, and I was drilling a hole. And all of a sudden, out of the side of that drill came some electricity. And I saw it, but I wasn't quick enough to get out of the way. And it hit me somewhere right in here in my arm. And for the next minute, my whole body was filled with pain. I dropped the drill. And I did something that Baptists are forbid to do. You know what it is? I danced. That's right. I danced, and I'm not asking for forgiveness. I danced. For the next minute, I danced, and I wasn't Preacher Glenn. Now, and I didn't say any bad words. Not going to tell you what I thought, but I didn't say any bad words. And I was filled, I mean head to toe, I was filled with pain, and that controlled my actions and attitudes. It controlled everything about me for the next minute. And I went in, and I think Cindy was at work when she came home. I told her, and she didn't feel sorry for me or nothing. And so now I'm in counseling. Yes, I still have the drill. I've used the drill since then. So y'all realize I need help. There's something wrong with me. Whatever fills you controls you. Luke chapter 6, verse 11. Listen to this. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. They were filled with rage. I remember, I think it was back in June, and you may remember this. There were some shootings that took place down in Orlando. And I remember this guy that had shot these people. This man that he worked with, I think I saw this on ABC News or one of the news channels. They were interviewing him, and they said, "Well, tell us about this guy." And here's the exact words he said about this man. He was filled with rage. He was filled with rage because whatever you are filled with, it will control you. And way, way, way too often in our lives, we are living according to our flesh. We are controlled by that bitterness. We are controlled by that anger over what somebody has done to us. We are trapped in that resentment and trapped in that frustration and just overcome with fear and worry. And it just controls our life and it controls our decisions and it controls everything. And it's a never-ending cycle of just being eaten alive internally. Just destroying our life. Just ruining us. And God says, don't live like that. Don't live like that. Don't be that way. Here's how he says it. It's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. And if he did not include what you're struggling with, if he did not include this thing that has control of you, he finishes it off by saying, with all malice. Whatever it is, whatever it is you struggle with, whatever it is that controls you, whatever it is that gets a hold of your mind, whatever it is that gets a hold of your actions, just put it all away. Just be done with it. Get rid of that. Be done with that kind of lifestyle. Just get it away from you. Put it away and walk by the Spirit and let God control your mind and let God lead you and let God direct you and let God's Spirit fill you up with a life that's unspeakable joy, which brings you such satisfaction and peace. Those things that are destroying you and relationships around you and the way you think and the things you do, he says, put it away. Get rid of it. He's not just giving us some advice. He's given us a command because it's going to make your life better. If you'll just get rid of it. Put it away. When you walk according to the Spirit of God, He'll lead you. Here's one of the great things about the Spirit of God, and I absolutely love it. When you live according to the Spirit of God, He'll come to you, and some of this is happening to some of you right now as I speak. He'll come to you and he'll go, Glenn, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And I love that. I love it when God comes to me and he says, be done with that. Put that away. Get rid of that. And the reason I love it is because when he comes to me and he says that and I confess that, he cleanses me. And there's no greater feeling in the world than to be cleansed by God. There's nothing like it. And so today, if you would like to take that step, you just simply confess what he points out to you. You know, it's a good thing. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. What a great prayer. What a great prayer. There's nothing more refreshing than to be close and clean with him. There is nothing like it. So, do we want to experience that today? Then we can. We have to admit we're wrong. We have to tell God, I'm wrong. No more rationalizing it. We do this all the time. I'm sorry, but you're not sorry. We need to go to God and just go, I'm wrong. And forget the but, leave the but off. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Confess it. Confess it. Whatever it is, whether it's anger, wrath, bitterness, whatever it is, whatever controls you, confess it. And what does the Bible say that God will do if we confess it? He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that does? If we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, it makes us holy. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. You cannot walk in the Spirit harboring unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, wrath, anger, worry, fear, on and on and on and on. You can't walk in the Spirit with those things. For some of you today, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since you truly walked in the Spirit. And you know what that's like because you've done it. And it's so amazing and it's so wonderful, but it's been a long time. Today we can turn that all around. Would you stand with me? For some of us today, it's just that one thing. And we've kind of hinted at it. We've kind of, in our minds to God, we've kind of talked to God about it, but we've truly never repented and confessed it. We never said, well, this is it, God, this is it. This is me, God, and I don't like it. And I want to change. I want this to change in me, God. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. I promise you, if you'll ask God that today, if you'll pray that to God today, I promise you he'll point something out. And you come and you confess it, and you'll walk away from here close and clean. And there's nothing like it. Peace of God that'll just overtake you. What is it that's controlling you today? It's either God or something else. And if it's something else, come make it right with God. And walk out of here today controlled by God. You come as James prayed. Come.